As the guys are coming up, I thought we'd just take a little time tonight. Let's turn back to Isaiah 53. We're going to go over some of the areas that we were covering this morning and then also looking to hear some more testimonies. I thought, as I shared this morning, that Becky's testimony was just good, remembering many of the great things that God has done. We've got to be careful that we don't spend more time talking about what God hasn't done than remembering all the great things He has done. Amen? And giving Him all of the glory and the honor that belongs to His name. And they spoke often one to another, the scripture says. And just giving that testimony of the promises of God and the great mercies of God. And so many great things that have been done. One of the things we've been trying to do that over the years I wish we had done more of, but the documenting of many of the things that Father has done here in our midst. Not only something that just is documentation or verification, but a remembrance or a memorial that's left for our young people growing up. And an encouragement to them to not live off past testimonies, but to dig their own wells and have their own visitations with God. Amen? Because God is generational. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, and I change not. Hallelujah. And so what He did for Moses, He'll do for us. Amen? What He did for Peter, He'll do for us. What He did for Paul, He'll do for us. Praise God. And as we see through the years that it goes on and closer to where we live at home, what He did at Azusa Street, He'll do here. Praise God. What He did in Parham's ministry, He'll do today. What He did in John G. Lake's ministry, He'll do today, praise God. And so, He is the Lord, and He doesn't change, and His promises are sure to 1,000 generations. And Satan is going to use the leaven within the churches today to try to undermine our faith, your faith, and my faith. Trying to get us to go back begin to take on the traditions of this generation of men that make the Word of God of no effect. You see, the devil doesn't care what your doctrine is. He cares what you're practicing, what you're doing. See, doctrine is about studying and hearing. Faith and power is about doing. And we realize then that we're going to be in our own lives just students of the Word of God and not doers. And the moment we become hearers and not doers, we're beginning to move into a deception. And tragically, within the Assemblies of God and Pentecostal Church of God and Pentecostal Holiness and many of those denominations that are our roots, many of them no longer practice what their doctrine says they believe. Much has been compromised to come across the tracks onto the more acceptable. Janet's mother, Frida, she remembers being in the Pentecostal meetings when they would come by and cut the ropes of the tents and have them collapse on the people. She remembers leaving church and being pelted with rotten eggs, the way they treated the Pentecostals back then. And today, the charismatics are some of the people that are most involved in secularism, in politics, in kingdom now theology of thinking that the church's job is to get involved in politics and business and somehow through these natural means. All it is the city of God, Augustine all over again. The Catholic Church believes that the church would usurp authority on the earth and then present it to Jesus once we've captivated this world and established the kingdom of God. We're not of this world. Amen. We're a people that when we walk in faith, we're going to be hated. We're a people that when we stand in faith and see the miracles of God, the envy of many professed Christians are going to hate us and they're going to begin to call us cultish in other areas that we're very familiar with. And it's only going to get worse. So we better know what God said. Amen. And we better be ready to stand upon it and be doers of this word. And so we go back and we ask ourselves then, what is the heart of God? What is God's dealing with man throughout the scriptures say? Who has he revealed himself to be? And of course, we're all very familiar with some of the major verses, but let's go back and look at them again for a moment and go back to Exodus chapter 15. And in Exodus 15, of course, the passage that most of us are very familiar with, but as they're being delivered from Egypt, they're out in the wilderness, they're beginning to have some of their first trials, they get to have their faith tested by lack of water here for a couple of chapters through this specific area. They're on their way to Sinai to meet with God. And as they're coming out of Egypt prior to the Ten Commandments, the scripture tells us in this 15th chapter, you know, they've sang their great songs, the song of Moses and the deliverance from Egypt. In chapter 11, it says, who is like, or verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Hallelujah. We have a wonderful God. Amen. That doesn't just mean he's good. He does wonders. We're to look on him and be in awe and be undone. He transcends our ability to comprehend his majesty, his greatness, his omnipotence. There is no limit to our God and what he can do. This is what he's revealing himself to be to the people of God. That's who he is today, praise God. Amen? And so we see this, and he goes on and talks about the fact that he stretches out his right hand and the earth swallowed these. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. And you in your mercy has led forth a people which thou hast redeemed. We'll talk about redemption as we go on in this study that we started this morning. And strengthens us and prepares a holy habitation. And then, of course, as he brings the miracle of life to them through the changing of the bitter waters, that brackish water. And he lifts up his eyes and it says, and he saw a tree. I wonder if that could be symbolism of the cross. And he sees this tree, and this tree meets the immediate need as the cross always does. Hallelujah. And he cast it into the waters and it made the waters sweet. And then he reveals himself in verse 26, this miracle working God, this God of wonders. Who is like unto thee, Lord, among the gods? Glorious in holiness. Now remember, holiness is not just purity. Holiness speaks of separation, of distinctness, of uniqueness. There's nobody like our God. Amen? All things are made by Him. Nothing existed. All things are made by Him and for Him. Hallelujah. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh, what a great God we serve. And in the midst of Him revealing Himself, then He says in verse 26, "Now if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments." You think maybe listening and doing is kind of a prerequisite to God's visitation, to these miracles that we're looking for? Or maybe our agenda's still too strong? Maybe our dependency on the secular still too strong? You know, I mentioned this morning, and we're going to see again a little bit tonight, we have a lot of trouble. We're so full of ourselves and so prideful. It's tragic to me to watch how many preachers and how many self-proclaimed Bible experts think they have to answer every question, and in doing so, make a lot of foolish statements instead of just looking at somebody and say, "I don't know." I don't know. I'll go see. I'll go study some more. How many of us make doctrinal statements before we're sure of what God has revealed? How many of us are standing on doctrine that others have propagated that we haven't searched out and know for ourselves as the Bereans? You see, the Bereans being noble doesn't mean they were checking up on Paul. It means they were confirming it in their own heart. Amen? That it's real to them. Is this what I believe? And what God has confirmed in me is truth. And so we have too many people parroting other teachers. You study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? And so this need for us to search the Scriptures, Jesus said, that's what reveals me. That's what speaks of me. And so He's speaking to them here, and He's telling them, listen to what the voice of God has to say to you. Conform to obedience and doing what's right in His sight. Give an ear to His commandments. Keep all of His statutes. Didn't even have any right now. The statutes, the law is coming. This revelation. And He said, I'm going to be revealing to you my will and my ways, and I'm going to bring you together and cut covenant and make sure that you understand what this covenant with Abraham really provided. What it consists of. And then He goes on and He makes this statement. And if you'll do these things, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. I will allow none of these diseases upon thee. I will oppose any disease that tries to come upon you as my covenant children. For I am the Lord that heals you. Amen? And so He gives this revelation of Himself, and He commits Himself to the obedient. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. Amen? This power, this presence of God. How important it is to have relationship and communion Let me tell you something. Communion is the beginning of revelation. Many of us want to come to the Scriptures and think that we can have revelation through study and through our minds. Revelation comes through the presence of God, fellowship and communion with God, which then enlightens us to understand things that we can't understand naturally. The natural mind is enmity with God, cannot understand the things, amen, that are of God's Spirit. And so he reveals himself here, and I don't want to get, I'm getting a little bit off track there, but seeing then that this is the revelation of himself, and he shows us that he is the Lord that heals us, praise God. What a tremendous testimony. Exodus 23, 25, you know, as we're in the book of Exodus, and you can just very quickly turn over there. But another passage spoken to us of encouragement and the commitment of God to minister to us. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, this is fellowship with God. This is his commandment to us. Don't provoke him, verse 21 says. Do all that he speaks, and he will be an enemy to your enemies. You know who one of our greatest enemies is? Death. Amen? Sin. These are the enemies that Paul speaks of. And that communion with God and obedience to keep his commandments is what allows us to be set free from these great enemies of our life. Serve the Lord and he will bless your bread and your water. I don't want to get off on this. But you know, all the prosperity teaching. God wants to prosper us, but he doesn't want us to seek gain. Amen? Everything in the Scriptures tells us don't seek gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you notice he didn't say that he would bless our finest wines and our filet mignon? He said, I will bless your water and your bread. Bread and water. That sounds like jail food, doesn't it? But having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. He's talking about a contentment, a spirit of contentment. In the most basic necessities, can you see, and are there times in your life when we have the least, we have only provision for the day that we can say, I'm blessed, praise God? God's blessing me. Amen. We have so much that we don't appreciate it. You know, when those guys were out there in the wilderness just a few chapters earlier and there was brackish water was the only thing around, they were pretty thankful for just a cup of water, weren't they? I'm sure it was Perrier. But again, we see himself revealing his purpose and desire and will for us and says he will take sickness away from the midst of us. We've got to understand, and we're talking about the false doctrine of refuting healing being in the atonement. The atonement, and I don't want to get into the depths of that, the at-one-ment with God, the bringing us back into right standing with God, We can refer to it, you know, and see the aspects of atonement, reconciliation. The Day of Atonement brought about appeasement, or Jesus, who was made the propitiation for us, the appeasement. That great work that was being done was to bring us back into covenant privileges and sonship privileges that had been lost in Adam and in disobedience from the time of Abraham. God wanting to bring us back into privilege that we would have as covenant children. And each time he makes reference to that, we've seen here twice already, he reveals himself as our healer. And so we've got to be very careful then when we see Jesus fulfilling all of these covenant promises and all that God has revealed himself to be to his children who are obedient to his commandments, that we don't make it less than what God has provided on our behalf. And so just wanting to point some of those out, then very quickly, there's so many, but just very quickly, let's turn over and remind ourselves again, you know, in this 103rd Psalm and 107th Psalm, these great benefits that God has afforded us. In Psalm 103, verse 3, and we see the great promise that came to us, who forgiveth all of our iniquities, and say it with me, who healeth, hallelujah. How many of them? All of them, praise God. And so we see the great promises that were made and how Father wants to reveal himself to us. The 105th Psalm in verse 37, again he makes another statement to us, and he says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among them. Hallelujah. Talk about miraculous. As they came out of walking through all of that wilderness, not a feeble person. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell, praise God. Moses' eyes dim not. Neither was his strength abated. Hallelujah. The sustaining power of our God. Now in our society today, we would be told that, you know, the way to accomplish, you know, a healthier, a little longer life is, you know, you gotta go eat grass and bushes and stuff. Let me remind you, that stuff was Cain's offering. It was all rejected. God loves meat. Praise God. Amen. That's sound doctrine. Take it for what it's worth. It's not doctrine, but hallelujah. And God sustains us. Amen. He's the source of our strength. What beautiful revelation that he gives of himself. And then, of course, in Psalm 107, he says again to us in verse 20, anybody familiar with this passage? And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent His word and healed them. Don't go looking for a verse in here to find that word that heals you. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And He healed you, praise God. The Word came and healed us, praise God. It's the person of Jesus. It's the work that was done on the cross. It's His name and faith in His name that makes this man whole, praise God. And so we see then these provisions to us, and don't let anybody steal it from you, amen? Don't let your feelings and emotions take it away. And as you battle and war, you know, the fact that pain is still there in your body, that does not negate the promises of God as we continue to rest on Him. And we shared this morning, and I'll let the guys speak toward this. We shared this morning that one of the biggest problems we have is admitting our unbelief. Now, when Jesus was in Nazareth, the scripture says He could not do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Now, if Jesus can't work these miracles because of unbelief, should we be surprised then at different times when we pray or we're praying for somebody and it doesn't manifest? Does that make it not the will of God? Or do we have to then take into consideration that maybe we have some unbelief? When we cast out demons, do we have to say that that negates the power of God and the healing power of God? You know, healing, when healing is spoken of, it's not just the physical body either. The word iaome, as it's used for healing, talks about casting out devils or being delivered from demonic powers. So do we then say, well, you know, it must not be in the atonement because we're not regularly experiencing these things. And as we spoke this morning, much of the Church of Jesus Christ is not experiencing daily power over sin. Amen? Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's part of the covenant. And yet how much of the church finds itself being overcome on a daily basis? I want to tell you something. Your deliverance from the power of sin that's in the atonement of God is effectual. The work is finished and you are free from God's wrath through the blood of Jesus Christ, through all judgment, through all dominance of sin. Sin shall not have dominion, praise God. And neither should sickness. And so as we approach that then, we need to just come to grips with the fact that, you know, there's times when I have to admit I'm really not in faith. I'm not believing. So what does that mean? It means when you're weak, you're in your best state for deliverance because then you're strong. Amen. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And God just shows up and manifests and delivers and He gets all the glory for it. Praise God. And not the healing evangelist. And not you to stand up and brag how great your faith is that got you healed. But the fact that we rested in His love and mercy and grace and believed on Him. That word believe just means, faith just means trust. The word faith just means to trust, to be assured of, to rely upon what Jesus has already finished. And so don't panic when you don't always get instantly results. Don't change your doctrine based upon experience, because what you're experiencing most of the time is a misunderstanding of the sovereignty of God and an unawareness of your own unbelief. Because God's word is true and every man's a liar. Amen? Makes it simple. Don't work on it so hard. Once you believe that God has really affected this, nothing can steal that out of your heart. And that's why Hebrews 11 makes it very clear. You know, these ultra faith guys, you know, and that it always irritated me. And I knew a lot of these guys as we were sharing, and we believe in many of the same principles they've exaggerated. I was teaching meetings years ago up in Buffalo at the tabernacle there. And man, people got so upset with me. I can still remember the teaching I did. We did a series called Suffering Saints. And man, all of these people were coming unglued, man, that we would talk about the fact that Christians would suffer and that there would be warfare with disease and sickness and times when we weren't experiencing immediate victory. Paul prayed 3 times, amen? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And we have people today standing up arrogant, saying, yeah, but we know more now than Paul knew. Dude, he got the revelation. Amen? Remember his call. I will show you how great a things you must suffer for me. That was the call. How many of you would like a call for that? Many of us would like to be called of God. Oh, I'd like to be called and go into the ministry. Okay, here's your calling. Suffering. Amen? 3 times beaten with rods. 5 times hit and beat with the whip. In perils, in nakedness, in fear, in depression, in the deep, a day and a night. Hallelujah for the call of God and the ministry. If Stephen had had faith, they wouldn't have stoned him. Stephen, a man full of faith and power. That's Bible. Amen. You guys take your little sissy doctrine and go somewhere else with it, man. Foolishness. Foolishness. Ignorance of the Word of God. Call themselves people of the Word and won't read the last half of Hebrews 11. They're afraid of it. It's like... You know, they want mink coats. The Bible says they would be dressed in animal skins. It just doesn't have the hair on it. Amen? A mink without hair. Hallelujah. They lived in caves. And they wandered and they didn't know where their next meal was coming from. People of faith of whom the world is not worthy. One Chinese brother was visiting a pastor, had come over, and a man came up to him and actually was bold enough to speak and say, brother, let me pray with you, man, and believe God with you. You need some faith. You know, God doesn't want his people dressed in clothes like that and suits like that. You need to believe God and have some faith in your life. This is a man who had just gotten out of prison for 20 years, been tortured, and never gave Jesus up. And this guy's trying to tell him about faith. Hallelujah. All I'm saying is when you find yourself in that second half of the chapter of Hebrews 11 and you can't figure it always out what's going on, just remember one thing. God spoke very highly of these people of great faith. Amen. If you don't faint. And so just encourage yourself in the Word and just continue on, praise God. And guess what? If you're going to die, die in faith. And God calls it noble. And God calls it strong faith. Because our God is sovereign and administrates His revelation as He wills, whether your comprehension accepts it or not. Amen? He is an awesome God. He is a mighty God. He's a good Father, praise God. And His promises are sure to 1,000 generations. And experience does not change our faith and does not change our course or our profession that we are a people healed by the stripes of Jesus. Let's take just a minute. You guys want to comment someone? I don't even know if we have a mic up here or not. On any of these areas that we've shared to this point and, just encouraging ourselves. The whole purpose of what we're sharing here is just to encourage you. You know, standing on the Word and people think that standing on the Word is being able to understand and comprehend all that God is. His ways are above our ways, man. The finite can never comprehend the infinite. You don't have the capacity. Many of us think we do. Many of us get ourselves in trouble because we think we understand God. I don't understand God. I believe in God. And who He's revealed Himself to be. And so I try to limit myself to speaking what He said and emphasizing what I know. And what I don't know, I think wisdom is to put your hand over your mouth and go back to saying what God said. Go ahead. Anybody want to share?
Pastor basically covered almost every, well, he did cover every scripture that I had in my mind. And then some, especially the Psalms 103 and then, finishing that off with the last half of Hebrews, which is where I was going to go as well. But, gosh, he covered so much doctrine there just a minute ago. When I say doctrine, the spirit of the doctrine, not just the letter of the doctrine, no formulas. And that's kind of what's been standing out to me through so much of this. And what he said a minute ago, you know, he quoted, he sent your word and healed you. He sent his word and healed your disease, all of your diseases. And, he didn't send a formula. You know, he didn't just say, repeat these words after me. He didn't propagate a formula of how you do this. I know when I was, teaching the other night, we were talking about, I just made a quick reference. I don't even know how we got there, you know, basically the faith camp movement and stuff. And I was talking about how, you know, people say, well, it just hasn't manifested in the natural. And I say that too. But, we were making a reference to the extreme, to the point of denial. I don't have a broken leg. Mm-hmm. Nope. If I just keep saying I don't have a broken leg, I won't have a broken leg. We made reference to our sister over here. We're not saying we don't have cancer. We're not saying that. We're saying, yes, we do. And God sent his word and healed your disease. Mm-hmm. And God will do it. He is going to do it. Well, what if he doesn't? Yeah, but he said, I sent my word and I healed your disease. God will do it. He is going to do it. We're not denying a circumstance. We're not denying that something negative, they hate that word negative, you know, that something negative has taken place and gone on. In the word, Paul sought three times the Lord. Yep. You know, he didn't say, I don't have this problem. A messenger of Satan wasn't sent to buffet me. He didn't deny it. He wasn't propagating a formula. It wasn't just he kept repeating words and phrases over and over. All that we do believe in mutterings and utterings and, you know, meditating and repeating the word of God and the promises of God. We do believe that. But we don't meditate on them until they get in our spirit. They're in our spirit and then they come out of our mouth. And because our faith identifies with it. And going back to what he said a second ago, he sent his word and healed your disease. And Jesus is that word. It's not knowing the doctrine. It's not just being able to quote the scriptures. I can quote large portions of this, very large portions of this, and can usually finish almost any scripture you give me. That doesn't mean that at that moment my faith is united with it and that I'm in tune, you know, in my spirit with the God who is that word. You know, it's knowing Jesus, getting into his presence, just what he just said, the reality of just worshiping and praising and knowing God more and more and more. And then the faith that's necessary, quote unquote, and this is where I like the word manifest, will manifest in your life because you know him and you're confident and you're comfortable in him. Just the same way a little kid, and we've made this illustration before, hanging onto a tree branch and daddy standing underneath of him. And the kid's like, I don't want to let go. I don't want to let go. Son, you got to let go. Daddy's going to catch you, but I don't want to. I'm a scared. Just let go. Dad, you going to catch me? Yes. You promise? I promise. Kid lets go and he catches you. And that's only born out of relationship. You're not going to do that for a stranger. It's knowing the God of the word and the God that is the word. And that's where our faith is coming. And that's where our healing, quote unquote, manifests. And that's why we can quote, yes, my God has and will heal me, will and has healed me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Rob, you guys want to share anything?
I just say amen. It's been a good word.
Praise God.
Just got to get it down in our hearts.
Do you have anything, John?
I do. I've been trying to formulate it for the last little bit. The only thing that I've been meditating on too is, especially when you talk about the other camp, especially the cessationist camp, and those are the reform slant who hold very strongly that God is sovereign, so everything's happened. There's this big giant script that's been written in heaven, and everything's already been done that has been done, and so we're basically just playing a giant charade until the end of kingdom come. And I say that coldly, not to dismiss them or any way be cynical towards them, but just that's pretty much what they believe. And that's why they believe what they do in their soteriology, that everyone's been already elect, and so everything's been written in a script, and that's why God doesn't heal today, because it's already been scripted. And so if you get sick, you're going to die. And that's the way it is, because it's already been scripted to the glory of God, as you taught just recently. And I say that tongue in cheek to make the point. And that's really the problem with that, though, is that it doesn't really line up with scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think, Pastor, when you come back to just what you said earlier about, can you just come back to, I don't understand what God is doing, and be happy living in the paradox that God is sovereign, he's full of love. And I think what, to me, best illustrates the point is 2 Kings chapter 20 with Hezekiah. And how many of you guys would think if God appeared to you and said, you will die, that you're going to die? Well, that isn't what happened, you know? And that story still stands out to me as the paradox of God's sovereignty, of his declaration of what will happen, and God turning, especially as it relates to divine healing, and doing something totally different based upon the prayers of one of his children. You know, and not to, in any way, because this camp on the other side says that God's sovereign and already has laid a script of your life out. Yes, he has. He ordains our steps. He is sovereign. He does whatever he pleases, absolutely. But within his sovereignty, he allows himself to be moved. I mean, think about the story of Jonah, to where God said, go tell the Ninevites and call out against their sin, and I'm going to judge them. He didn't mention to Jonah that he was going to turn if they repented. Even the king, when he responds to Jonah's cry, says, peradventure, God will save us. He didn't know. Yet God turned because of repentance. He turned because of faith. And the same thing here in 2 Kings chapter 20, when Isaiah comes to him and says, set your house in order. This is the word of the Lord. You shall die and shall not recover. Huh. Well, then Hezekiah goes, prays, mourns, weeps, and God sees the, as Pastor mentioned earlier, the obedience in his life, the faithfulness to the call of God, and he turns, and he adds 15 years. And I only say that to say this, that we can't get, there's not a battle in heaven over God's sovereignty and God's goodness. His sovereignty is good, and his goodness is sovereign. And for us to be free to come to God, as Pastor's been sharing here recently, and come and just say, Lord, I know what the doctors are saying, I know what it looks like in the natural, but your word says that you sent your word and healed me. The righteous have been forsaken. The righteous have been afflicted, but you delivered them out of them all. You know, and just being able to come to Father and not be intimidated and think that God has this giant script of your life. He's moved. He's touched. He hears the cry of his children. Read Psalms 18 when that cry of his children goes up even into his ears and he avenges them speedily. And not to lose sight, we sometimes can, and even that other side teaches, God's almost like a cold God who has set in stone every course of your life. He's sovereign, but he's also moved. He's also a father. And there's not some battle in heaven over his attributes. He is unitary. He is full of love. He is completely sovereign. And you know what? He can make it all work out. So can you just step back and go, Father, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. And so I think there that sometimes that teaching there can cause some people to get a little askew. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so as we look at Father and as John was sharing, you know, he's full of compassion. And so just find that place of rest and get inside that hedge. But you know, the hedge that's built around us doesn't make us immune. In some of Jesus' teachings, we realize, you know, the sun rises on the just and the unjust. Amen. The rain falls upon the just and the unjust. The fact of the matter that sin is in the world. And sickness and disease is in the world. Many of us genetically were born with a propensity towards certain diseases. Our bodies are stronger or weaker in certain areas, again, because of a genetic makeup from Adam through our parents. And many of these things that Father has provided for, you know, give us opportunity to live with power over these propensities. And that's what healing is. Many of us are preserved and those propensities never manifest because of the grace and the goodness of God that they have in all of your other family members. And so you don't ever, you know, you don't say, well, I was healed of such and such. Praise God, we were delivered from it. Amen. I know when Father spoke to me years ago about that aspect, and I know the propensity in my family line, my lineage, and every one of the Scott men from great-grandfather, grandfather, father, every one of them had heart attacks in their late 30s and early 40s. And when I got saved, I just said, no, that's stopping here, praise God. And so we, you know, we don't know what those time bombs are that are in us. And when it manifests, who did sin? This man? No, or his parents. It's in there. It's passed down from sin's effects on Adam. And so there's not a guilt and there's not a fear that we're living in, but there is an awareness of these different aspects. So we need to remind ourselves of that, the thing that Les referred to again. You know, Christian Science, when you got that broken arm, guy says, man, when'd you break your arm? My arm's not broken. That's not faith. Dude, you got a broken arm. Right? That's a negative confession. Some people, that's a negative confession. No, that is a reality. Okay? Hallelujah. Faith does not deny things that are. Faith calls things that are not as though they were. And there's a big difference. And so we need to make sure that we live with that understanding too. Don't be afraid to talk about what's real. The scripture is full of it. When you see different men admitting to the fear that's in their hearts, the circumstances that they're involved in, whether it's people that have them surrounded, the troops that surround them, and there's imminent danger and destruction. I don't see anybody out there. You better realize there's people out there and start praying, amen? And use our weapons that are mighty through God. And so just, you know, these things that become parts of the charismaniacs over the years, that people have come up with these skewed theologies. And many of us in here have heard stuff like that, and you hear it still on the radios, and people get on their internets and do things, and you got all of these, you know, people that are denying the power of God, or you got people that are mocking and false things. One of the popular things years ago used to be the great miracles of the leg lengthenings. Any of you ever heard of that kind of stuff? You know, if I sit in this chair.
You can lengthen mine if you like.
Yeah, if I sit in this chair and sit back here and put my legs out there, I can make my legs kind of, by hula hooping, get long and short. I don't disagree with leg lengthening. I think the maim get healed. That baby better be 4 or 5 inches short and go whoop, and then I'm like, yeah. Praise God. Because we've seen that too. But that half inch leg lengthening is not real impressive. And so people go through all of it. Just don't get caught up in that stuff. God's miracles are true. Why settle for all of these imitations? I'll take one real healing over 100 fakeries, man.
Absolutely.
And different aspects of people being manipulated in meetings and powers of suggestion and many of these things. Let God be God. He does heal. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so just, we that live in and desire and look for the supernatural can become gullible. And we need to be sure on our foundation of sound doctrine. And we can become so desperate to see something happen that we move outside the sphere of the divine and get into the occultic. It's supernatural, but it's not divine. It's healing, but it's not divine healing. Divine healing takes place in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. And not for the glory of the object healed or the instrument that might be used. And so as we become aware in these last days when God is beginning to move in our midst here in a way that we're believing Him for. I'm looking forward to that visitation. When we can say, and He healed them all, praise God, amen. Aren't you looking forward to a night when how many ever Father would have come, whether it's 50 people or whatever from the community here that come to be healed, and you got the halt and the maimed and the blind and the demon possessed, and He heals them all? How many of you looking for 100% night? Praise God. That's what we need to believe God for. And don't let anybody steal it from us. And so just encourage yourselves, encourage one another as we go on in the faith. You know, we were talking this morning about, and maybe I'll end with this. Go back to Matthew's gospel. And the eighth chapter, be in chapters 8 and 9. Rob, do you have your Greek New Testament? Why don't you read that those verses we were talking about this morning about the centurion servant being healed in verse 5. We can start, or whichever, wherever you want to jump into it, verse 8.
Shall I read it in Greek?
No. You can when you get to certain words.
Well, starting in verse 5. I don't think I can go through word for word here.
Okay.
Certainly the key words we were talking about.
Verse 8 is one we can look there. The centurion answered and said.
Yeah.
I'll read it and then you can touch on the aspects. Okay. Verse 8 says, you're supposed to tell me, read.
Read.
Okay.
I don't like telling my pastor what to do, but please.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed.
Yeah, and that word right there for healing is that word, iaomai, which speaks of a wholeness. And of course, in the earlier verses where Jesus said, I will come and heal your servant.
Yep.
That's where the Lord used the word therapeuo, I think. Is that in verse 5?
Yeah.
Or verse
6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7.
Yep.
And Jesus said unto him, I will come and...
Therapeuo.
And you know, we were talking about the usage of these words and how iaome is inclusive. It's all inclusive. The healing, the wholeness, it has to do with deliverance. It has to do with wholeness of mind. It has to do with the physical body, whereas therapeo is usually speaking primarily to the physical healings. And so Jesus said then that he would come and physically heal him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said he was going to do. And Jesus does what he says he's going to do, right? And so then as Rob's sharing with us here out of the Greek, then you go on and it says, if you'll speak the word, I know my servant, verse 8, will be iaome.
Yeah. Made whole.
Completely whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up and says in verse 13,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was iaome in the self same hour.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so don't let people play with those and say, well, iaome is spiritual healing. It has to deal with the healing of our sins and this. These words both always include the outward man, the physical healing of our bodies. And you can't see any better example of it than that passage right there where Jesus was revealing that as his will to heal, praise God. Father, we thank you for your presence tonight and for your great love and your mercy.
Praise your name, Father.
We wait on you to manifest your greatness in our midst. Father, even now as we look to you concerning many of these needs that are among us. Help us to not be anxious. Help us to not question, but instead to wonder, to stand in awe, to trust and rest and know that what we cannot see is manifesting itself already in the spirit realm.
Praise your name, Father.
That healing is affecting itself even now. Don't feel different. Don't look different. But healing is working in that body at this very moment. Praise God. Because Praise He sent His word and healed us. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, as we wake up in the mornings, as we awaken in the night, our wonderment of your greatness, an expectation, just, is it now? Is it now? Many times when God moves in our midst miraculously, we're not even able to know whether it's true or not. Peter didn't know what was going on when he was in that prison. He thought it was a dream. He thought it was a vision. Many times these miracles will manifest, whether it's healing or some other type of miracle, deliverance, and it's just like, wow, really? Expectation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anticipation. Rest. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, help us to rest.
Praise you.
Ceasing from our own labors. Learning to rest. You're so good. You're so merciful. You're so kind. You are so powerful.
Thank you.
I'm weak, you're strong. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Show your mighty power in my weakness. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Praise you.
With all of our learning and all of our understanding, bring us to rest.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
I will come and heal him. Just speak the word. Can you imagine? It's going to happen like that. Just speak the word. At any moment, Jesus is going to say, okay, it's enough. You're whole. Praise God. Just like he did with the devil with Job. It's okay, it's enough. We've gone through this purpose and plan and revealing of who I am and revealing of where you are and your heart is and revealing of where the people around you are. But it's enough. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let your voice echo through here tonight. It is finished. Praise God. Nothing more to be done but to praise you. To praise you. To thank you. Oh. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord. You've done exceeding abundant. We praise you, Lord. Lord, who are we that you would die, that you would take our pain and disease upon yourself? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stretch forth your hand, Lord, and show healing and deliverance in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. And let this place be shaken as we worship you and declare your majesty. Grant unto us power that we might speak this message with boldness, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, mashabarakatan. Sebe arakata yesita. You are great, Lord. Your ways are great. Your mercies endure forever. Arise, O God, and be glorified. Be made big in this place. Hallelujah. Let the enemies be scattered. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
We taste and see that you are good.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, if you are you, we are glad. You are the God of all worship. Great is thy name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why not now, Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why not now, Lord? Oh, Masho Robo Shanda La La Mashatanda. Oh, Menene Ora Mashanele La Mashaka Baba Masata. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, it's finished. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.